I love the people of Conway County. And their welfare and safety has always been my primary concern. I have tried every way that I know how to protect the life and the people of Conway County.
This is Ozarks at Large. That is a quintessential Arkansas voice that you may not recognize, but Randy Dixon, who is with the David and Barbara Pryor Center for Arkansas Oral and Visual History, is here to tell us more about that voice and the man it's connected to. First of all, Randy, welcome back to Ozarks at Large.
Thank you, Kyle. It's great to be here.
Who'd we just hear?
That was Marlon Hawkins. And you may or may not know his name, but if you were around in Arkansas in the 60s and 70s, you would know who he was. He was only a sheriff in Conway County, but his political reach went statewide, and he even made, you know, national news because of his persona. He was a bigger than life politician and public servant.
He was bigger than life, and he was polarizing both inside Conway County, with the county seat of Morrilton, where he lived and served, and in the other 74 Arkansas counties. He was, like you said, for a time, a household name among Arkansans.
Absolutely. And I talked to Ernie Dumas, you know, longtime journalist and friend of ours, about, I guess, just sort of the kind of politician he was.
Marlon Hawkins is one of the great characters in Arkansas history, which is kind of remarkable in that he was simply a lowly county official in one of the rural county in Arkansas, but nevertheless he was one of the in the 1960s and 1970s he might have been one of the most recognizable names in Arkansas, one of the four or five most recognizable names in Arkansas, because he became such a famous person in Arkansas, not just in Arkansas, but nationally. There were a lot of articles in the New York Times and the Washington Post about Marlon Hawkins in those days and far on into the 1990s.
This is a story about old school Arkansas, and it's a story that is about old school elections. And you and I are of an age that when we were young, election nights were different than they are now.
Well, Marlon Hawkins really knew how to work on election day or leading up to election day. And I was lucky enough to have a conversation with his son, Bruce, who was former state representative and is now a lobbyist, probably one of the most powerful in the state. And he told me about what it was like on election day at his house.
His knowledge of politics was outright amazing. It truly was. And I would have to say that influenced my decision to run for office in 1983, I believe it was. But he was just a true politician with a great big heart. Sometimes controversial, most of the times not. You know, and he, election day at our house in Morrilton, our little bitty house, was crazy. He would have the old rotary phone dial phones that. And we had probably 25 those jacks that you put on the baseboard of your house. You'd have a woman on every line, and they're hammering votes. They're calling friends. They're calling family to make sure they voted, to get out their vote. Prior to that, days leading up to the election, I would wake in many, many mornings and walk into the only bathroom we had in our little house, and there would be 8 to 10, what Marlon called haulers. These are the people that knew everybody in the whole district. They divided up the precincts and divided up the people, and they didn't have computers. It was, everything was done by hard copy, and there was paper flying everywhere. But and I've seen my mother flipping eggs in a cast iron skillet till she couldn't stand up. She fed them the coffee pot after coffee pot. That was what they did to prepare for elections. You know, I've told
so people. So is that what they considered the, I guess they would say, a machine?
That's the machine. Marlon Hawkins invented it. He invented the game of machine politics.
I tell you, that is a cinematic retelling of what an old ruralish political machine was like. That description.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
And you know, you hear, you know, machine, political machine sound like a bad thing, but that was a working machine, and it was used, you know, Clinton did it, especially in the Delta, you know, when he mm-hmm. would get votes out, and it's working. It's you know, working the people and working the voters.
When you and I first discussed that this was going to be the subject, I told you that I thought this would be the most complicated subject we've discussed. Yes, and yes, I understand we've talked about race and gender and other things, but complicated because Marlon Hawkins, as I mentioned earlier, was polarizing and a complicated man, and there were complication situations around him and politics.
Oh, well, he had his fans. You know, his followers who were staunch, and then he had his enemies, and who were just as strong. And I think one of the biggest was a journalist who had a paper in Morrilton. His name was Gene Wirgis, and he would constantly write editorials and stories about what he found as corrupt with the sheriff, and this is a news conference that I found in the archives where he doesn't really pull any punches, where Marlon Hawkins kind of lets loose on Gene Wirgis.
This is the same Gene Wirgis who wrote such editorial during the Marlton city manager campaign as, yes, the city council has a record, so does Al Capone. The same Gene Wirgis who said the county judge would put his arms around you and pick your pocket at the same time. This is the same Wirgis that said the county judge was not a fit subject to go to church. You know that if he had not printed these quotes, that the county judge would not have received the $200,000 judgment against he and the Marlton Democrats. This is the same Wirgis that the county clerk obtained the $75,000 judgment. Our county was founded and has prospered under the Constitution, which provides for freedom of the press, freedom of assembly, and freedom of speech. But we feel that these freedoms can be abused. To us, this was certainly the case of the former editor of the Marlton Democrat and also some of the state's larger newspapers who have joined him in writing editorials and news items that are half facts and slanted to fit their thinking. Do you call this freedom of the press? It will be a sad day for our country if we individuals continue to stand by and permit the so-called crusading editors to crucify people's character and reputation just because they have the weapons to do so. I am a firm believer in the fact that you can single out any individual, regardless of how good his character or his reputation is, and keep printing false statements and making false statements about this individual's character and reputation, that you yourself will begin to believe that that story is true. At the same time, you have crucified, you have hurt the character and reputation of your fellow citizens.
You know, this was a small rural county, and then you had this fight and this controversy that made statewide news, and from times, you know, it made national news. It was in the New York Times, and there were articles in some of the bigger publications. But I did talk to Ernie Dumas to kind of put it as a journalist in perspective with Gene Wirges.
So Gene Wirges was kind of a muckraker, and so he began to write stories about corruption. And so it got to be a war, and he sided with Winthrop Rockefeller, and Rockefeller supported Gene Wirges. And so that became a big battle with Gene Wirges, and they would arrest. They eventually ran him out of business. They'd arrest him and charge him with a bunch of stuff, and he'd have to spend a little time in jail. And so they eventually destroyed him, his business.
To me, Marlon Hawkins seems to be a Shakespearean character, because even today, if you go to Conway County, you will hear people tell about the things that he did, right, for people, his supporters mm-hmm. especially, but people who might be out of a job or have lost a home, and the things he would go over and above. But if you were not a Marlon Hawkins associate, or if you were, you know, a critic, he could make life very rough for you in Conway County.
Oh, you were either Furim or a Guinea.
Yeah.
And yeah, he did do things for people. I've heard stories that he would go to the grocery store and buy a bag of groceries for a family that maybe their house had burned or they were out of a job, and he would, you know, personally deliver these things to their houses. But you know, he made enemies, and one of them was in his own home county.
Oh, right.
By the name of Winthrop Rockefeller. And as he got more, they were friends at first, but as Rockefeller got more into politics, I think they sort of had a falling out, especially because Rockefeller was a Republican. But Hawkins' son, Bruce, talks about, you know, the fact that he could not support a Republican.
My father was a yellow dog Democrat. And I guess had it not been for that, then they'd probably been great friends. My father was not going to vote for a Republican and not encourage any of his friends to vote for a Republican. That's just the way it was. Today's world is not like that. Today's world where, as you know, most are independent. They're not Democrats and they're not Republican. But it wasn't that way back then. And when he did not support Governor Rockefeller when he ran for office, in fact, I think he ran twice for office, and never carried Conway County. He did not even carry his home county. That was that machine we're talking about. And, you know, there became a little bitterness.
It's Bruce Hawkins, son of Marlon Hawkins. Marlon Hawkins, longtime elected official, longtime sheriff of Conway County. That's where Morrilton is the county seat, and was a towering political figure in Arkansas politics for some time. And through the help of archives and interviews, we're looking back.
He was an interesting guy in that he had a unique look. He lost his eye when he was 8 years old. So he had a glass eye, and he was known to occasionally say if he was going to do something, that he would just kind of turn his blind eye to it if he needed to get some things done. So I guess that was sort of a wink, wink
yeah.
from Marlon.
Right. We should mention that surrounding Marlon Hawkins' career and reputation, especially, I think, outside of Conway County, were, depending on who you were talking to, considerations that there might be corruption to people who outright believed it was the most, in their thoughts, the most corrupt county in Arkansas.
Absolutely. You know, he was in office for 37 years, and he made a lot of friends. Well, he wrote a book called How I Stole the Election.
And stole is in quotes.
Well, and, you know, that was his sense of humor.
Yes.
He did it as a joke because the whole premise of the book was that he stole the elections by doing good things for everyone in the county. And, you know, there was no doubt that he loved Conway County, and he lived to serve. In his mind, he really did.
But nobody serves forever. And eventually, the political, or at least the in-office political career of Marlon Hawkins comes to an end.
Yes, and he announced his retirement in 76, that he was not going to run again.
I will not be a candidate for re-election as sheriff of Conway County. Neither will I run for any other political office during this 1970 primary. You can rest assured, my friends, that this has not been an easy decision for me to make. It is one that I made with a heavy heart after asking divine guidance and counsel of some of my very closest friends. It is difficult, certainly, to leave the sheriff's office and his supporters who have stayed with me throughout thick and thin, good and bad, and who rely on me and who I have leaned on heavily. My wife, Marvine, unfortunately is not enjoying good health, and 37 years in public office has also mellowed me and made me a little wary. I think it best for my family and for myself to not seek re-election.
Ernie Dumas, you talk to him, and he kind of tries to sum up at least what Marlon Hawkins thought.
Yeah, I ask you, was he really corrupt? You know, there were people who insisted that it was an entirely corrupt system that Marlon Hawkins ran. And I think Ernie Dumas summed it up pretty well.
He went out of his way to help everybody in the county. And so that's kind of what he did over the years, even as the sheriff. I think he would, somebody's son gets in trouble, he kind of takes care of him. He's not going to send this guy off to prison and maybe, you know, he's so, and everybody in the county had some obligation that they felt toward Marlon Hawkins, and in that respect, I think he was a superior public servant in those ways. But he also expected to control things. That was part of his. He would argue that that's how I was able to help people. I had to stay in control so that I could help people, and that would be, I think, Marlon's argument about whatever little crookedness he was engaged in. It was just so that he could stay in power and do good things for people. That would be Marlon's explanation for what he did.
We're going to end here in a minute with just a wonderful little juicy piece of dialogue between a reporter and Marlon Hawkins. I first want to tell before we get there.
His son even said he had heard him say this before. I quoted it to him, and he said, "Oh, I can remember him saying that." And that was sort of the way he thought of his life, his career.
Before we get there, I'll tell you that Randy Dixon is with the David and Barbara Pryor Center for Arkansas Oral and Visual History. You can go to their website, just put Pryor Center in a search engine, and spend all day and then many more days just searching. Put in a date, put in a name, put in a fact or a place, and between the archives that have been digitized for KATV and the interviews done, you know, that are original to the Pryor Center, fascinating history. All right, Randy, thank you so much. This has been a blast going back into the past this time.
Oh, this was a good one, I think.
Sure.
Yes, sir.
Does this mean that you're going to bow out of politics completely?
Well, let me answer that by asking you a question. How long would a fish live if you took him out of water and threw him on the bank?